You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
An organization of scientists dedicated to the preservation of a New Guinea dog thought to have only existed in captivity has recently celebrated the discovery of a pack of the animals in the wild. The sighting is the first in more than half a century. President of the New Guinea Highland Wild Dog Foundation, James McIntyre, says the dogs live at very high altitudes and are reclusive, which is how they remained undiscovered by scientists for so long.
They really aren't seen too much except occasionally by villagers hunting far away from their homes and things like that. It was important to find out whether they still existed because there hasn't really been any official scientific documentation since the original ones were taken out of the wild in the 1950s, and then again a couple more were taken out in the 1970s. There have been sightings and anecdotal reports. There have been a couple pictures, okay, but a picture of a dog is just a picture of a dog unless it can be scientifically documented. And there, from the original dogs taken out of the wild, probably 8 pairs total, they are the founders of the entire captive population of New Guinea singing dogs, which is somewhere around maybe 250 individuals worldwide. And as you can imagine, when you start from 8 individuals, you got to start being concerned about inbreeding and things like that. So the captive population is genetically really compromised, and there's a bad need for new genetics, a new genetic influx. So there's always been a reason to search for these animals. It's just that it's difficult to get into either side of New Guinea, either PNG or Papua Province. And then these areas where these dogs inhabit are very tough to get to. And so that's kind of a reason that there hasn't been many expeditions that have actually gone to look for these things. I went in 1996 and stayed for a month on the Papua New Guinea side, and I heard dog howls, I saw tracks, and I collected fecals, but never saw a dog. And basically, that's their nature. Like I mentioned before, they're very elusive, shy, secretive, and don't present themselves that much. So it's pretty important for a number of reasons to find these dogs. Actually, they may be somewhere in between on the evolutionary scale of the original dogs on the planet, this wolf dog type thing, and the domestic dogs right now, that have kind of remained isolated and unhybridized up in the highlands of Papua New Guinea. So,
and
go
what
ahead.
Exactly, does that mean? I mean, having an animal that, you know, hasn't evolved at the same rate that, you know, that animals and humans have been exposed to, you know, agriculture and civilization. And
well, yeah, the science is still out on the exact origin of wolves and dogs and things like that. Now, finding a remnant population of a primitive type dog that is almost like a living fossil, they have found fossil remains that are 6,000 years old that are seemingly identical to this Highland wild dog. So it can tell a lot to scientists about the actual evolution of the dog and the wolf, and which branches on the evolutionary tree led to which dogs and which species and which places around the world. It can also tell us a lot about the evolution of man, because as man traveled, generally they also traveled with things that was important to them, and that was their families. And occasionally they brought livestock with them. And certainly pigs traveled with a lot of the migrating families across Southeast Asia and Melanesia and things like that, and also dogs. Now, like I said, the science is still out on whether these dogs evolved with people being brought along with them or if they came on their own when ocean levels were much lower when they were able to travel between Southeast Asia and Papua New Guinea, and then Papua New Guinea between Australia, because their closest living relative on the planet is the dingo. No other dogs genetically are even remotely genetically similar to those two dogs. Yet, New Guinea singing dogs, or these Highland wild dogs, are just about a marker or two different than the dingo. And some people think that perhaps at one time there was a land bridge between Papua New Guinea and Australia, and these dogs freely traveled between the two. And then when the ocean levels got higher, it separated the two dogs, and then over thousands of years, these dogs evolved according to their environment. Mm. The dingoes evolved for the Australian environment, and these Highland wild dogs evolved to live high in the Papuan Highlands.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And, I mean, the other thing that sprung to mind with these findings was that, you know, if you can have... I mean, we hear about sightings all the time of you know, from non-scientific people that have, you know, found tracks or whatever, whether they be, you know, something like the, you know, Loch Ness Monster or...
Or the Tasmanian tiger, or the thylacine, or the other ones that have not been proven to exist yet. That's cryptozoology things, and it's really hard not to believe in those things when so many people from so many walks of life, from so many stages in history, from so many levels of education, have actually seen similar things. You know, so I've got kind of one foot in cryptozoology. But animals that actually did once survive and live, like the thylacine, the Tasmanian tiger, and the Highland wild dog, it's just a question of whether a remnant population still manages to survive hidden away from normal human populations and out of an area where they would be easily found.
And Papua New Guinea is maybe one of the few places where this could happen, right?
Oh, absolutely, because the central mountain spine, which stretches across the entire island of New Guinea, both Papua New Guinea and Papua Province, is as desolate and remote and as high altitude as anywhere else in the world. And like I mentioned, the inhabitants that do live in remote areas, they're surviving out there day to day. And they don't go any further or expend any more energy than they have to. So if they go on a hunting trip away from their village, they'll go as far as they need to go to get the food that they need. There's no eco-tourism and things like that going on there. It's a survival day-to-day thing. So as far as going higher in elevation and rougher terrain, they just would not do that for economic reasons. It's just not necessary. So a lot of these areas are undisturbed by mankind, and it's a perfect place. You know, they have done some rapid assessment expeditions in both the PNG side and the Papuan side, and that's where a team of scientists go in, botanists, herpetologists, mammalogists, and things like that. They go in, they hit it hard for a week or two, and they routinely find new species, undocumented species, just because they went to an area that has never been charted by scientists before. So there's no doubt to me that there are many unknown species of plant and animal, flora and fauna, that still exist in these extremely remote areas on the island of New Guinea.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.